Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Bull and I write some videos here at HowStuffWorks.com.
And I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing well, Scott. Always well when we run into each other. How have you been?
Fantastic.
For our listeners, you guys should just know I had a coffee situation, which Scott and our producer today, Tyler, just solved for me. If I don't have the ability to drink coffee, right? If our coffee machine's out or something, I should just get, what were you saying?
Oh, the chocolate-covered espresso beans, right?
Will it give me that kick I need?
I think so. I'm not a coffee drinker.
I've always wondered why you're not.
That's soft drinks.
Yeah, soft drinks. That's cool, man.
Coke, soda, pop, whatever. Yeah.
Go your own way.
Whatever region you're in, that covers it, I think.
There are so many different names. Yeah. But we're not here to talk about that today. I just wanted to thank you on air.
No, this is about fueling up, though.
This is about fueling up.
See?
Oh,
see
nice.
The link?
Scott?
Yeah, it worked.
Did you plan that one?
Not really.
That was pretty good, though.
It sort of worked.
Okay.
Sort of worked. But
yeah, I thought it worked.
What we're talking about, though, is I read something recently, and this is by no means new. This is old. It's probably a couple years old, but I kind of had this one on the back burner, and I thought we'd talk about it, but we're just not getting around to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's an argument out there that says that rather than the standard what we use as miles per gallon to measure fuel efficiency in a vehicle, that it maybe makes more sense to measure it in gallons per mile, more specifically gallons per 100 miles.
Now, a lot of people are not going to think that that's very different, except for the 100-mile mark there.
Yeah. Well, the 100-mile mark is just to make it a number that we can use, really, so that it's large enough, I guess. Because when you're talking about gallons per 100 miles, you're talking about numbers that are like in, 2, 3, 4, something real low like that. If you were to say just gallons per mile, the number would be a decimal point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that makes it just far more difficult. So we break it into gallons per 100 miles or gallons per 10,000 miles, or 1,000 miles rather, and then gallons per 10,000 miles. You can do it any way you want. But if you compare two vehicles in the same manner, you can get a much better picture of how much it costs you to drive your vehicle 100 miles, 1,000 miles, or 10,000 miles. Just in fuel costs, not operation costs.
So gallons per 100 miles is a measurement that a lot of people, at least here in the States, don't use. We use miles per gallon.
That's right. Exactly. Although in Europe, they often use liters per 100 kilometers. That's a very standard measurement for them over there. They get a better sense of, and they're not the only ones that use that, but they get a better sense of how much it costs them in fuel to go a certain distance.
See, that's something that I could use, because what I'm about to talk about, right?
I think I do, yeah.
Oh,
go ahead, bring it up. I want to hear it again.
I'm so lame, but I figured just in the interest of full disclosure.
Why not?
So my console on the dash of my beloved Monte Carlo is not all the way working. It's not completely dead, but
dead.
The gas gauge is not working. The speedometer works, and the odometer appears to work, but the gas gauge has just gone the way of the dodo, bought the farm, etc. And as a result, it is of vital importance to me to know exactly how many miles I can go on a gallon of fuel, or how many gallons it'll take me to go 100 miles. So I just want you to know, Scott, that this is of vital importance to me, and I am hanging on your every word.
Okay, before we start, before we really get into this, because it does get a little bit complicated, I'm going to try to keep it real simple with using just round numbers and make it easy on us, because it's tough, without having any kind of visual to be able to tell people how this all works. But I'll tell you where to go to look up information, and hopefully you can follow along, or you can look this up later and see just what I'm talking about, because I'll use their examples and maybe that'll make it even more clear. And the other thing is that we're not saying this should
replace.
Totally replace maybe in addition to is what maybe it should be.
Maybe we supplement.
Should, exactly. Maybe we should also have this number next to miles per gallon, and that might make sense. But no, I don't think anybody's really saying that we need to completely replace miles per gallon. That's not the intent here. We're just letting you know that there's another way, another thought process out there, and it might make you think twice about another new car.
Oh, that's what we have to say, because the results will be a little bit different.
Yeah.
If you calculate, you know, the difference between two cars MPG versus the difference between their GP100M, can I say that?
Yeah, I think that's the right way, yeah. Yeah, you're right. This is really based on the idea that if you're looking to trade your vehicle, if you want, let's say you've got a, we'll get into the examples, but just for example, let's say you sure. got a car that gets 17 miles per gallon, you want to trade it for a car that gets 23 miles per gallon. We can tell you how to figure out the fuel economy for that vehicle versus, let's say, another vehicle that you might be considering a trade for, and see how much you're saving exactly. And you'd be surprised what we come up with here.
Yeah, I certainly was.
It's not really as intuitive as you might think.
I would say it's counterintuitive.
Yeah, that's right.
To be
because
with you.
Now there are two guys at Duke and University, and I'm looking through my notes here. Hang on a second, I'll get it. It's Rick Larrick and Jack Saul, and these two guys, they're professors of management, associate and assistant, and they were carpooling one day, and they were talking about fuel economy on the way to work. They were in a hybrid, and they kind of said, "Well, let's try to figure out some different scenarios where your economy is better or worse, and then try to average it out, try to figure out what's going on here exactly." And then they determined that miles per gallon can actually be a very deceptive measurement. And it depends on your terrain, it depends on your climate, it depends on all kinds of different things. So they said miles per gallon, it really depends on your style of driving, it depends on a lot of different factors. So they thought that, like I said, it's a deceptive measurement in their eyes. So they said, well, how can we work this, you know, to make it make more sense, I guess. Make it even it out between all the vehicles, you know, start with a fresh slate. Mm-hmm. So they came up with this idea that, and it, not that they came up with the idea, they're kind of, it's based on the, liters per 100 kilometers idea.
Yes.
But they've been working this through, and they've been getting funding from Duke to do some research, or they did. I think it's over at this point. But for example, they asked, they took a poll, and they asked a lot of people, which would be the better vehicle to replace. If you had a 10 mile per gallon car, and you wanted to replace it with a car that gets 20 miles per gallon.
Okay.
So that's 10 to 20. Uh-huh. Or would you want to replace a 25 mile per gallon car with a car that gets 50 miles per gallon?
50 miles per gallon.
Yeah. So you're replacing 10 with 20, uh-huh. or 25 with a 50.
So you're doubling the miles per gallon.
In both vehicles, you're doubling the miles per
okay.
gallon. So 10 to 20, 25 to 50.
Then I would, of course, can I answer?
Yeah, of course.
I would, of course, want to go from 25 miles per gallon to 50 miles per gallon.
That's what almost everybody who answered their survey question said. However, you'll find out that over a distance, I mean, this isn't just, it's hard to explain this without getting into it. So let's just get into it right now, okay?
Okay.
You're far better off, or not far better off, you're better off, I should say, trading the 10-mile-per-gallon car for a 20-mile-per-gallon car. And that does seem counterintuitive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like you're getting, because you want to say that you want 50 miles per gallon, that's the best scenario.
Right.
Here's the way you look at it when you think about it in a distance of 100 miles. If a 10-mile-per-gallon car uses 10 gallons of gas in 100 miles.
Okay.
So we're basing this all on 100 miles right now, okay?
Okay.
So a car that gets 10 miles per gallon uses 10 gallons of gas. Mm-hmm. A car that gets 20 miles per gallon uses 5 gallons of gas to go the same distance,
so
100 miles.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, and a 25 mile per gallon car uses 4 gallons of gas for the same distance.
Right, okay.
Whereas a 50 mile per gallon car uses 2 gallons of gas for the same distance. Again, 100 miles.
Right.
So if you look at the gallons of fuel used, which was, and I'll read them just straight down, 10, 5, 4, and 2,
uh-huh.
You have to compare the two. So you're talking about trading in a 10-mile-per-gallon car for a 20-mile-per-gallon car. The savings in fuel is really 5 gallons of fuel, because mm-hmm. instead of using 10 gallons, you're going to use 5 gallons. So that's 5 gallons saved, right?
That makes sense.
Okay, that and we'll just say our fuel prices right now are $3 a gallon, right?
Sure.
That's $15. Okay,
uh-huh.
So $15 is what it saves you
every 100 miles.
Every 100 miles.
Okay.
Okay, and you could extrapolate that out to 1,000, which would be $150, or even 10,000, which is $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see the savings there. That's pretty big, right?
Yeah.
Now the car that you said was better to to buy the 25 versus 50. Remember, that's 4 gallons of gas versus 2 gallons of gas used in 100 miles.
So you're only
saving
2 gallons.
2 gallons per 100 miles.
Oh, it's so long.
So if you're saving 2 gallons per 100 miles, you are saving a total of $6 per 100 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that it's $60 for 1,000, and you're saving $600 for 10,000. So instead of saving $600 per 10,000 miles, wouldn't you much rather save $1,500 per 10,000 miles?
You know me, Scott.
I'm getting so trapped up in this. This is a.
I think that's an excellent explanation, because I'm also, you know, you can see me scribbling along as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it really. I know it sounds terribly complex just hearing it, but if and it maybe not. Maybe it's simple for someone to follow along if you've got that kind of mind that can process that. But the thing is, if you look this up, or if you figure it out on paper the way I just described it, it's pretty clear how that set of numbers will give you a much more clear picture of how much you can save for a relatively short distance, 100 miles,
mm-hmm.
Or even 1,000 miles. I go 1,000 miles pretty quick in my car. It doesn't take that long.
Yeah.
And when you talk about a year, you know, you just determine how much you drive a year and see the fuel savings between, again, a 10-mile-per-gallon car, 20-mile-per-gallon car, and, you know, so on. But isn't that odd that, you know, going from 10 to 20 is far more significant in savings for you than going from 25 to 50?
It really is strange, and I guess it makes a little bit more sense when I think back on it because of the relationship with the numbers. You know, a lower mile-per-gallon is bad.
Yeah.
A higher gallon per mile is bad.
The smallest increase creates. It's not that it creates a bigger increase, but a better savings, I should say. But a small increase in miles per gallon really does mean a big savings. And I can give you one example of this. If you have a 15-mile per gallon car versus a 12-mile per gallon car. So you're talking about only a 3-mile-per-gallon difference. It's not significant, really. It doesn't seem significant.
Shouldn't be.
So let's take that one out to 10,000 miles.
Okay.
Okay? So let's say that you travel that in a year. It's a lease vehicle. You can only go 10,000 miles anyways. So you're just talking fuel cost here, okay? A 12-mile-per-gallon car versus a 15-mile-per-gallon car, you will save 167 gallons of fuel over that 10,000 miles by having a 15-mile-per-gallon car versus, you know, just that 3-mile-per-gallon difference saves you 167 gallons in just 10,000 miles. Now, I triple that amount because I go about 30,000 a year because I take it on road trips, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
So 167 gallons times $3 per gallon, that's $501 that you save in 1 year just by having a car that gets 3 miles per gallon. And if you take it out to three times that, which is what I drive, $1,500 again.
Wow.
So it's significant savings. And you don't think about it that way until you really see it laid out in gallons per mile. And, you know, you just wouldn't think of that if you said, well, this is 12 versus 15. Big deal. I'll go for the 12 because it's a flashier car, whatever it is. I'm using your reptilian brain to pick it out. I knew.
Like, which one of us is going to say that?
Yeah. So if you recall back to the reptilian brain episode, it's far more significant than you would think.
So, do you think that there's a possibility for car manufacturers and dealerships to pick up this way of looking at the numbers?
You know, some reviewers have already started adding this to their their reviews of vehicles in online and in print ads, magazines, I should say. So I think it's catching on, but not as fast as I think they wanted it to originally. But I haven't seen it really in many places. But it's here and there. It's happening.
If there's a groundswell among the reviewers, though, I think that definitely strengthens the possibility.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's been a couple of years since this has come out, you know, since these professors at Duke came out with this idea or you know, broadcast that they've got this idea. We should also include this number on the Marconi sticker on the windows of every new car. But so far, I just haven't seen it many places. Not many places.
Well, we still haven't really picked up the metric system in this.
No. And I haven't told you exactly where you can find this stuff yet. But if you look on, you can actually find an... you find a little video that demonstrates this really well. And this is the it'll give you the 10, 20, 25, 50.
That'd be perfect.
Demonstration that I told you about. And it's on YouTube. And just search the MPG Illusion. The MPG Illusion.
I like that title.
And it's real simple. It should walk you through exactly what I told you here, and maybe watch it once or twice like I did, and I finally got it. Mm-hmm. So I understood what they were getting at, but it's an interesting little video clip. It's not very long, but I think if you dig into it, you'll find it pretty interesting.
And you know what else people should do while they're already on the internet?
What's that?
They should check out the High Speed Stuff blog.
Oh, good idea.
Which we don't really get to plug too much, but it's got so many interesting things. And I think that, Scott, I know you can't say anything about it without being immodest.
I'm blushing already.
He's blushing. It's crazy. I got to stop.
It is hot in here.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? You're right, though, it is. We're in a different studio today. But anyhow, so the blog is a great read. You can also find out more information about anything automotive related by checking us out at our website, howstuffworks.com. And if there's something on there and you're looking for something that's not there, why don't you send us an email and maybe we can cover it.
Yep, and that is at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.